While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the afternoon that we look at a face of business, economics, policy, trade, and everything that affect our bread and butter. It's a Tuesday. It's a cold Tuesday of the 11th of August, 2026. We are progressing at an understandable pace, especially looking at moving toward the end of the year. We are looking at the affairs of business and economic affairs. And we are greeting policymakers, economists, trade analysts, followers of Eagle FM Namibia, and everybody who is a developmental enthusiast, and everybody who is interested in bread and butter issue. We are here until the hour of 1400 hours. And looking at our today's bulletin, we'll be looking at firstly, we are going to have a look at what happened yesterday, especially what happened at the University of Namibia, when the University of Namibia has looked at bridging the gap, especially when it comes to launching of real test project on the reliability and sustainability research and testing for green hydrogen technologies. We'll be able to listen at the Vice Chancellor of University of Namibia, that is Professor Kenneth Matengu, to look at what is the relationship between science, technology, and innovation, and also what is the relationship between policy decision and also investment when it comes to policies. From there, I'll be in communication with my colleague Anakreta Haikela, especially to look at parliamentary oversight, to look at what was happening, especially yesterday, an engagement between Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts in Rudo Town Council when it comes to accountability and tracing of public finance and the implementation of policies at the local authority level. Then we'll look at the SADC region, especially when there is one day before general elections in Zambia, and we'll look at final campaigning, looking at Zambian President HH, who is looking at targeting the young people from the age of 18 to 35, that the majority, or there are more than 50% of the Zambians, and also to look at what is happening in Zambia. From there, we'll look at Tanzanian democracy, apart from ongoing commission of inquiry related to the post-August or post-election violence. We'll look at what is happening within Tanzanian opposition, where the trial of Tundu Lissu, the leader of the main opposition in in Tanzania, continue with the trial of treason, and we'll look at that context. Let's look at a short commercial break, then from there we'll start with our news bulletin. From there, we'll look at international trade, what is happening in the market, how is Namibian dollar trading compared to foreign currencies, and also we'll look at top traded commodities for this week. Stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito danjuka okukwetera oipindi konu honda doinawa nune udo otukwetera o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ilinawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe ibali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletin to look at the launch of the Real Test Project, Safety, Reliability, and Sustainability Research and Testing for Green Hydrogen Technologies. Let us look at the head of University of Namibia, Professor Kenneth Matengu, what he had to say, especially at the launch, to look at the relationship between policy and investment into policy, and also to look at the state of education and innovation. That is one of the contexts, especially looking at his welcoming remark of that launch.
Exactly the same. But today, they are not the same. South Korea, today you see LG, you see Hyundai, you see Samsung. You don't see that from Ghana. What is the difference? Investment in higher education. What South Korea did was to send a lot of its people to study in Germany, in the US, in Japan, and then they attracted them back. Then they started to see the benefits of knowledge and creating systems. In the 90s, a lot of factories closed in Europe. It was actually a depressing time. Where did they go? They went to China. Why did they go there? They went there for skilled workforce and cheap. China, up to today, produces 3 million PhDs per year. And they send abroad 1.5 million PhDs, people who went study abroad. What are they after? Skill. The result of these investments, we know today that China is a big player. Out of the world's electric vehicles, China commands 70% of electric vehicles. If you go to China today on the street, you'll find 80% of those cars are electric vehicles. Whereas the electric vehicles we have here, they'll take 3 to 4 hours of charging to run 3 hours or approximately 350 kilometers. Mm-hmm. In China, they have cars that can go for 1,000 kilometers and they charge for 10 minutes. Again, what is the difference? Investment in advanced research and knowledge. So from 2000 to 2010, we saw this shift, US and Europe digital internet ages. We have also known that things move at speed now. Whereas in the 50s, it took 30 to 40 years to reach 50 million customers. Now you do that in weeks, in days actually. When DeepSeek was launched, was it last year? It only took hours to reach 50 million clients. So the speed at which knowledge and skill contributes to knowledge now is important. And what we have seen there is the shifts. Knowledge follows investments. I think I must repeat that. Knowledge follows investments. If we are not investing in the education system, industries don't come. We have seen those from the 20s to 40s, the skills were going to the US. In the 50s and 70s, skills moved to Europe. In the 80s and 90s, they went to East Asia, to Asia. But in the year 2010, around there, we started to see some movement of knowledge coming back from East into Africa. This is what we are experiencing now. Some of you would know that it is projected that Africa will become the biggest avenue of investment. Why? Because of its population dividend, young people. In some countries, I will not name it, 1 out of 6 are above the age of 60. That means every young person works for 6 other people to pay their pension. Africa has an advantage that it has these young people. I must tell you also that there are projections in the year 2060, there will be 600 million people in higher education. Many of them are expected to be people who already have qualifications, but they are going back to higher education for upskilling and reskilling. The sad news is that in Africa, this number is expected to be lower. Even though we have a population that is young. What is the reason? Is what the World Bank and UNESCO have called the education poverty. We have people, 8 out of every 10 who are under 10 years old who are in school, they are functionally illiterate. Yes, they are in school, but they cannot do basic mathematics. They will read a sentence with very good English, but if you ask them what does it mean, they can't tell you. Our response as a university is to dig deep into these crises and resolve them. So, also what you will see here is that Africa experiences a massive tech boom. And different countries have taken decisions that they will be good at something. And it's our time also as a country to ask ourselves, what are we going to be good at? Check Egypt decided to be a leader in digitalization, intelligent marine conservation. Ethiopia in electric vehicles and passenger cars, especially in e-mobility. Kenya in ocean governance and financial technology. I think Kenya was actually the first. We need that confidence in the industry. To make industrialization in Namibia sustainable, it must be underpinned by science. Evidence-based policy making. I want to emphasize that as a country, we are well known for having very good policies, but maybe not so good in implementing. I think the reason is in policy interpretation. You can have good policies, but if you are not interpreting what those policies mean, you can't implement them because you don't know what it means. It may read well, but if you are not interpreting policy, we are failing. The other thing is, a policy decision must always be accompanied by resources. Otherwise, it's not a decision. You make a decision, but you don't assign the resources to it. You have not made a decision. It's as simple as it is. So, today, we are very pleased as a university that we can say the university has taken the Earth Administration's advocacy for economic growth and industrialization using our own resources very seriously.
Yeah, that was the head of University of Namibia, Professor Kenneth Matengu, especially giving the welcoming remark at the launch of Real Test Project Safety, Liability and Sustainability Research and Testing for Green Hydrogen Technologies. One of the things that he stated is the aspect of policy making and also policy interpretation and also making sure that policy decision and resources should accompany each other, especially if you want to industrialize. Now I'm joined in the studio by my colleague, that is Dwight Link, to help us unpack what has happened, especially at the University of Namibia. Dwight, good afternoon, and welcome to On the Radar.
Well, good afternoon, David, and good afternoon to the listeners.
Yeah, let us look at what the professor have just said. Two key things, apart from giving a background of the historical development in education, one of the things that caught my attention is the aspect of policies. He spoke about a policy that is made and is not well interpreted is better than nothing. And also look at decision-made policies must be accompanied by resources. Just before we look into that, can you give us just a highlight and your key takeaway? Then you come back to my 2 points.
Okay, yes. So where Professor Matengu spoke at, because I know that academics love the doctor or the professor.
Yeah.
Like I also stumbled upon accidentally with NCRST's CEO,
okay.
Madam Peters. She's got doctor, professor, or professor. I don't know which one to use, but for us journalists, you're always straightforward. You just use their names because, you know, it's your government name.
Yeah.
So, Matengu spoke at the first ever testing laboratory that was unveiled yesterday at the University of Namibia.
Mm.
In the audience was Vice President Lucia Witboy, who also came to say a few words. Matengu, his particular opening remarks cited the purposeful historic indication of how industrialization takes place in the world. He used the Northern Hemisphere. He used Japan. He used Germany, which is one of the close, who is a active development partner in Namibia's green hydrogen and green industries. It's the new label that we have to apply now, green industries, sectors. And the laboratory, which is based at UNAM, UNAM main campus, cites particularly how the facility and the targeted initiatives. So we're talking about there's one particular new department that has to play a part with that laboratory, as well as also capacity development, meaning students who have reached now master's. Mm-hmm. No, I'm lying. Doctoral level.
Yeah.
Five guys as well. And the unfortunate thing is they are just men. So I'm sorry for the gender-based discussion right there.
Yeah.
But there's a new cadre also in the pipeline of or a new cohort of students who are now in master's level at UNAM, who will also include women, who will now will
work in that space.
No, they will be the next cohort to go to Germany to be upskilled to the doctoral level.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the key discussions, David, just to in that background, has been that a recent discussion. Remember the interview that I had with Peters and Ntlantla about, you know, where is scientific research going? And is it under threat? The reason I asked that was the motivation I used to ask them that question was Neil deGrasse Tyson, a famous American astrophysicist, meaning they are looking at space. Physicists are key in terms of, you can think of them as an advanced engineer, but physicists are also like scientists. They are technically also scientists.
Rocket scientists.
Technically, they are space scientists, to be exact.
Yeah.
Now, Namibia has a shortage specifically of this kind of scientist because we are now going to get into nuclear, we're getting into hydrogen, we're getting into understanding renewables and the further potentials of these renewables.
Yeah.
And we need to be training these people. Now physicists are literally at the doctoral level. They are, for example, like economists, you can't call someone an economist who's got a 3-year economics degree.
Yeah.
The person must be past honors level.
Yeah.
So they at least should have reached master's level. At the least.
Yeah.
If we look at these particular discussions, these particular capacity development aspects, the infrastructure will now be there, which was unveiled yesterday, but then the skills that have to work with this. And I'm going to stop there for now.
Yeah. No, just 2 points before we look at Nakreta also, because I need insight what happened in Rundu.
you do know that Rundu visit specifically will feed the home run later on.
No, it's fine. Yeah, just to look at... it's a good thing to have intention, and it's also the other thing to be practical. What was the view in the room when the professor was very diplomatic, but he was straightforward to say, we are making a lot of good policies, but we don't understand them.
Yeah.
And he also indicated that the aspect of decision without funding is not going to get us anywhere. What is your take on that?
This is a proven reality. This is a proven fact.
Yeah.
David, because we have countries in the world that have incentivized their manufacturing sectors.
Yeah.
So who am I talking about? South Korea, which is part of the home runs running joke, specifically of the National Planning Commission that flew to South Korea in 2024 to go and watch a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
What am I talking about there? There's a very famous example, specifically in the South Korean context, where Hyundai, the car company, their origins, David, was construction. Sony, the large, which is now a massive entertainment company, but its major business that made its name was consumer electronics. They made screws for the Japanese army. Honda, motorcycle company.
So they advance.
Mitsubishi made airplane engines.
Okay.
For the Second World War. So you can look at the origins, but you can see the diversification led was specifically based upon government procurement, which is government incentivization, cascading into these new advancements that we now see in our modern-day economies. Mm-hmm. So Matengu, but he spoke from an academics perspective.
Yeah.
Fuel the academics so that academics leads the new frontiers for Namibia's industrialization and manufacturing.
Yeah.
Because if you go and look at much of Namibia's manufacturing today, David, you will see it's accidental. What do I mean by that?
Yeah.
The guys who are engineers in construction, they were exposed to construction because their dads were taught on the job in construction.
Indeed.
So it was accidental.
Yeah.
It was purposeful, but it was an accidental scenario. The guys who were the bricklayers, it's out of in many cases, it's out of a needs-based scenario. They didn't go to a VTC to get taught. In some cases, the guys that I knew and grew up with, they didn't, they weren't taught. Their dads went like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you being idle during your school holidays as a 16-year-old. Mm. And it takes them with. So such particular scenarios were accidental. They were targeted, but accidental. Because it's not, if you ask a 16-year-old, what did you want to be?
Yeah.
They will definitely tell you, I don't want to see my future as a bricklayer.
Indeed. Yes, Dwight, thank you. Yep. We'll listen to what happened in Rundu. That is exactly what I want, because you need somebody who was in the room to say when a policymaker met a policy implementer, what is the excuse and where are the public funds? Thank you.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Wapungwa Eva Tere Urikoni Maundu Tuto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweku Tite Opoewe Eku Kulile Oshafa Fana Nongeshefa Ili Mehola Mo Iho Tike Kovano Ile Koshuala Onongeshefa Yapumbwa Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Tota Njuka Okukwetira Oipindi Konu Honda Doi Inawa Nune Udo Otukwetira O Special Ngetashake Ngeshefa Omarudi Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamoili nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora esatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko derewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Wapungwa Eva Tere Urikoni Maundu Tuto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweku Tite
Opoewe Eku Kulile Oshafa Fana Nongeshe Faili Mehola Mo.
Yeah, we are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. Today, we are going to get what a lot of the listeners and viewers were asking, to say what really happened when policymakers met the policy implementers, especially at the local authority level. I'm joined on the line by my colleague Anakreta Haikera to look at Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts engaging Rundu Town Council. Where are the documents, what I've seen online, but it's good to have those who were in the room. Anakreta, good afternoon and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, David, and to all the Eagle FM listeners.
Anakreta, there's a lot of question. Some there's an excitement, some there's also an aspect of a bit of a shock, especially looking at the news coming out, especially from accountability process, especially looking at parliamentary oversight. to look at what happened in the Rundu Town Council. And maybe for those of you who were in the room, what is the background of the conversation, and how was the atmosphere before we go to the details of things?
The atmosphere was really not something that one will really want to experience when you are in a high position post, as to say.
Yeah.
And this, we are talking about the Rundu Town Council, councillors, and also at the same time the CEO and all the departments within the council. So now yesterday they have to have to come face to face with the parliamentary standing committee who were on public hearing of count issues. Now looking at what has transpired yesterday is that the Rundu Town Council has not been submitting its financial report for the past 7 years, and this is indeed already a bad phase to the second growing town in Namibia. So perhaps one will even say that that's maybe why the services are not rendered within the town. And looking at what was happening yesterday, one could see that perhaps there is some skills lacking within the management, or people are not serious, or people do not just want to render services. And it was also revealed during that public hearing by parliamentary standing committee that they have outstanding account that they did not even have submitted their financials from 2028 to date as we speak. And the town itself said they have submitted some, but then when they were looking at the report that was submitted to them, it showed that they did not receive anything. And this means that the Rundu Town Council financially records were misleading and therefore not been relied on.
Now, looking at the financial statement, for example, was there any varying point, especially coming from the council itself, the town council itself, apart from now when you look at it, to say some of the things were not or did not reach parliamentary standing committee, for example. But were any varying point apart from that, why there was a delay, why for 7 years we did not submit the financial statement? What is the argument, and who was representing the council, if you just have to look into that?
Okay. The CEO, the mayor was also there, and some other councillors were there. According to them, they were talking about one of the reasons is some of the people that are in the department do not have the necessary skills to do auditing. So that is one of the reasons that they came up with. And the other reason was They consulted with someone to do they consulted someone to do the auditing for them, whom they paid 1 million, who is a consultant, but then the person did not manure to finish with what they told them to do, and they also said they even promised that by end of October at least they will be able to submit some of the reports from at least, imagine, from 2018. So they promised that by end of October they will be able to submit perhaps any auditing reporting from that 7 year period that they have not submitted anything at all.
Yeah, now looking at that, was there any sense of irregularities, or is just a document? And also maybe to look at that public consultation, was there anything that you are really happy about that it came out of that? Was it a productive engagement, regardless of the weakness that came into the public? What are things that you can really say that they are good for public to hear?
For me, I feel it was a good engagement, because at least now people understand what is going on within the town council, because at the end of the day, the blame goes mostly to the people that are surrounding the community members by being told the reason why you don't have water is because you are not paying your funds. But then these people are rendering their funds. They are paying, you know. But at the end of the day, the money that is paid is not being rendered to services that it's supposed to be. So, for instance, if more than 105 million income reverse was not yet been said where it is up to date, that can already see that the mismanagement is within the town council. And people have now waited for so long to see why is the town not growing, what is happening, who is misplacing things, what is really happening. And now with the report that was given yesterday, one can see that really there is indeed a deficiency in the town council that needs to go out. It's either with the CEO or the mayor or the councillors themselves.
Just lastly, what is the way forward? What is the communication from Parliamentary Standing Committee? Are they having any way forward after this engagement?
While speaking to Hendrik Goap, the chairperson Goape, the chairperson of the Parliamentary Standing Committee yesterday, he mentioned that the committee will convey a meeting with the Rundu Town Council to require the council to provide the necessary evidence regarding its failure to submit financial statement as required by the law. And he further said that the situation was concerning as the submission of financial statement is a legal obligation under the Local Authority Act. But not submitting financial statement is required under the Local Act. At the end of each financial year, local authorities are required to submit their financial statement to the Office of the Auditor General. But then he said nothing of this was done. So he said, he finishes his statement by saying that the Public Account Committee will convene a meeting after returning to Windhoek to determine when the Rundu Town Council will be summoned to appear before the committee and provide the necessary evidence.
Yes, Nakreta Haikela, thank you for joining us. Thank you for that update.
You're welcome, David.
Right. Yeah, that is Nakreta Haikera from Rundu, and also to give us an update, especially what's happened when lawmakers meet with law implementers, and also what is the necessity of implementing financial obligation under Local Authority Act, and also to question the question of what happened over the past 7 years, why the finance were not able to be accounted for, and was the government putting a blind eye on that, or is it the first time that an auditor gave such an opinion? And also to look at the way forward, to say, in terms of accountability, what is the way forward? How can other local authorities learn, especially when it comes to financial management, capacity building, and also public accountability? So let's look at a short commercial break and come back shortly, especially to look at beyond Namibia. We'll be able to look at what is happening in Zambia regarding the general elections that will happen in one day time, where you have President Hakainde Hichilema and other candidates that are contesting for the highest office in the land of Zambia. So let's come back shortly.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Wapungwa Eva Tere Ulikoni Maondo Tuto Ingida Ashike Kapeno Nweko Tete Opoye Ekukurile Oshafafana Nongeshe Faili Unehola Mo Iho Etike Kovano Ile Koshuwana Onongeshe Faa Yapumbo Kukaraya Kovano Okupitira Mo Eagle FM Otuna Evi Tota Njuka Okukwetira Oipindi Konu Konda Doi Nawa Nune Udo Otukwetira O Special Angetashake Ngeshe Faa Omarudi Dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamoiri nawa, ninge pata fanona, monika ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe, bali heali, nola natu, heali bali no heali, ileko mderewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is
actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25 Namibian. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99 Namibian. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99 Namibian. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99 Namibian. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99 Namibian. You Save. Where else?
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours.
Yeah, that is what is happening. We are moving forward with On The Radar News Bulletin. We are looking at Zambia. It is stated that in one day time, Zambia will go to general elections where you have a contestant, which including the president of Zambia, to look at who is going to sit on the highest office on the land, especially regarding the aspect of political elections. So it is noted that the president of Zambia, Hakainde Hichilema, has looked at one of his final campaigns, engaging the young people, the students at universities, especially targeting the young population, and also giving them an opportunity to give them second term, that is looking at economic recovery and also creation of opportunities. Let us look at this news and come back shortly.
With just days to go before Thursday's presidential election, Zambia's President Hakainde Hichilema is on the campaign trail. Nearly half of registered voters are between 18 and 35, making young people a potentially pivotal bloc.
Take a picture of that. Are you going to campaign?
Yes.
Campaign at the schools, colleges,
yes.
In the rooms to your roommates.
Yes.
At the market when you are buying something.
Yes.
Campaign in the bus.
Yes.
Everywhere.
Hichilema is facing 13 other candidates, but his main challenger, Brian Mundubili, has surged to the front after winning the backing of a coalition of rival parties.
And I'm available for you 24/7. That's what I told my wife and my children, that I'm no longer just your husband. I'm no longer just your father. I'm a father to 21 million Zambians.
Voters will decide whether Hichilema's economic reforms deserve a second chance, or whether the opposition can turn widespread discontent over the high cost of living into a win.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially in Zambia, looking at the final dates of election campaigns, and to look at what will happen on Thursday, where the citizens of Zambia will determine who is going to lead them in the next 5 years. Are they going to give the president, the sitting president, another chance, or they are going to give competition a chance. Looking in Tanzania, it is noted that the leader of opposition in Tanzania has continued with his trial, especially looking at the treason trial, and has been in jail even during 2025 elections. And to look into this context, let us look at this and come back shortly.
The treason trial of Tanzania opposition leader Tundu Lissu resumed on Monday after a five-month pause, reviving a case that has drawn international attention over the country's political climate. Lissu, chairman of the opposition Chadema Party, has been in custody since April 2025 after being charged with treason and offense that carries the death penalty in Tanzania. Outside the Dar es Salaam courthouse, Lissu accused prosecutors of deliberating delaying proceedings to keep him behind bars, saying they wanted to waste time so that he can continue to remain in remand custody. The trial had been suspended since February while prosecutors appealed a ruling allowing additional evidence. Tanzania's Court of Appeal dismissed that challenge last month, clearing the way for the case to move forward. Chadema described the hearing as a critical test of Tanzania's commitment to democracy, the rule of law, and political freedom, arguing the prosecution has been used to suppress legitimate opposition.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially to get Tanzania. Let's go to a short commercial break, then we can come and look at the foreign exchange rate, where is the Namibian dollar standing in comparison to foreign currency, and we'll look at the top traded commodities in the world and their price. However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM in any of its staff.
Ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ilinawa. Nune udo, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa, nukumona oijamo ilinawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the reading news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
54 minutes past the hour of 1. We have a good 6 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation to look at today. Namibia dollar per foreign currency unit. Euro is trading at 19.28. Pound sterling is trading at 22.56. And the US dollar is below 17. It's trading at 16.71 Namibian dollars. Foreign currency unit per Namibian dollar. Kwanza trading at 13.27 Australian dollar. 0.084. Botswana and Pula, 0.70. And many others. Looking at what is happening at the international trade market, the top traded commodities. At the number one, you have Brent crude oil that is trading at 88.01 per barrel. That is $88 per barrel. Then you also have WTI crude oil that is trading at $81.50 per barrel. Gold is trading at an international market at $4,015.10 per barrel. Then followed by natural gas that is trading at 2.86 per million BTU. That is in the top five, you have coal that is trading at $121 per ton. That is what is happening, especially looking at international market. On the other hand, what is happening around the world, they stated that the Syrian court have sentenced its former president, that is President Bashar Assad, along with his younger brother, to death in absentia on Tuesday for crimes against humanity during a 14-year conflict that left about 500,000 people dead. The sentence at the Fourth Criminal Court in Damascus, the first against Assad or members of his inner circle since Assad family left power, and those who have been in power. And his leadership, and also under the leadership of his father, to look at that, he stated that first against Assad or members of his inner circle since Assad family, 5 decades in power, came to an end 20 months ago. So Assad's family have been ruling Syria for 50 years, and now he's sentenced to death in absentia. That is what is happening. And on the other hand, it's also an indication that in Colombia, there is a deadly earthquake in Colombia that has caused damage, especially when you're looking at international news. It's an indication that Colombia is faced with deadliest earthquake that is happening that caused damage to houses and also industry. Let us look at this news and come back shortly. Yeah, dear listeners, that will bring us to the end of our On the Radar News Bulletin. And from me, David Shombe, I'll leave you in the good hands of Peneambeko Jonas and also Andreas Erastus from Andangwa to come with Temoletu. Bye-bye and see you around.